May Jesus, our good and gentle shepherd, attend you all your days until the eternal day at home in heaven. Amen. We meditate this morning on that second lesson. It's from Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 9 through 17, as you can follow along if you like, but I'll be reading from the New Evangelical Translation of the New Testament. You can note the differences, and we'll talk about those a little bit as we meditate on God's Word today. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After these things I looked, and there was a large crowd that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and carrying palm branches in their hands. And they called out with a loud voice, saying, "We are saved by our God, who sits on the throne, and by the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and around the four living creatures. And they bowed down before the throne with their faces to the ground, and worshipped God, saying, "Praise, and glory, and wisdom, and thanks, and honor, and power, and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders turned to me, saying, "These people dressed in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered him, "My Lord, you know." And he told me, "These are the people who have come through the great suffering, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. They will never be hungry again, nor will they ever be thirsty again, nor will the sun ever overcome them, nor any burning heat, because the Lamb in the center near the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose revelation, this book we are looking at now, our dear good and gentle shepherd, dear fellow sheep. One thing. What is the one thing in your life that you could change if you could? The one thing you really wish you had that seems to be denied. It's different for everyone, but working with teenagers, you sure hear that over and over again, just wishing for the soulmate. The one person you could really talk to and open your heart up to. Life goes on, the years pass, and the one who had a soulmate may find out down the road that the one thing still seems to be missing. Why the tears when you thought you had found that one thing? Has there ever been a well-married wife who did not want more time and affection from her husband? Or a well-married husband who did not want more time and affection from his wife? And why is it that we in a country blessed beyond the wildest dreams of people, even a generation ago, have so many really sad people wishing for that one thing? Every heart is a God-shaped vessel. And every heart wants to fill it with something else. We look for people, places, things. If only I could have this, him, her, be there, that one thing. And our dear Lord Jesus realizes that's really the problem in our Wisconsin Synod at this time, too. Because sinful that we are, every last one of us, from the president to every member of our whole entire Synod, every last one of us wants to fill that God-shaped vessel in our heart with something else. Oh, we need this book of Revelation. We need to be there with John in exile on the island of Patmos when the Lord finally turned the lights on for him and showed him that one thing in this revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him, that is Jesus, to show his servants the things that must happen without delay. He sent this revelation by way of symbols through his angel to his servant John. We need it in our personal lives. We need it as a synod, so that the Lord will help us be walking together, following the Lamb, enabled by His grace to worship our God who saves. Worship our God who saves before the throne of heaven. Before the throne of heaven. That one thing that we all want, that we cannot have. John writes in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, "And after these things I looked, and there was a large crowd that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." And back in this life, they all wanted the same thing. Remember when our sister Dorothy Lindig passed away, standing in the cemetery and looking at all those other gravestones out there and thinking about all the lives that had come and gone and are no more, at least not on this side, and thinking about how all of them tried day after day to make a living, raise their families, find that one thing that every heart yearns for. And all their striving was done. In the book of Revelation, the Lord God, in His grace and mercy, lets us see what it's like on the other side. But have you ever wondered, why, Lord? Why do you withhold from me that one thing? Why does God do that? John is on the island of Patmos because he witnessed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's there because he was a faithful Christian. So you go to church, you hear God's word, you pray about the people you'd like to speak up to at work, and you finally do. You tell them about the one thing needful. "I tried, Pastor. Look what happened. Look what it got me. Children in school." You want to witness to your friends and tell them about Jesus. You tell them about the one thing they need to hear. "Pastor, where did they go? Lord, why aren't they around anymore?" And it can happen in your married life too. That one thing you try to speak up about Jesus. Some of you don't know this. And some of you weep. Because you speak up about your Lord Jesus. You know what I'm saying. There's a price to be paid, a cross to be carried, because not everybody wants to hear it. And if you're blessed with two ears that will listen to the Lord God with you, praise the Lord. Because it's not always that way. The one thing that we want in our hearts, we try to fill with everything else until the Lord points us up to heaven and shows us all those people in this large crowd that no one could count. He just said, by the way, it was 144,000. Could you count to 144,000 if you sat here long enough? I think most of us probably could. This is another example of the picture language in Revelation. First verse tells us, I read that, the symbols The numbers are symbolic. 144,000 is the triple complete, the 10 times 10 times 10 number of all Israel, which in the Old Testament was 12 tribes, and in the New Testament was 12 apostles. The 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10 is the triple complete number of all believers, which no one can count, because only God can see into our hearts to see which of those God-shaped vessels is filled with the one thing that we really need, and not all the other things and people and places that we try to fill it with. And this people, this crowd that no one could count, they were all wearing white robes and carrying palm branches like on Palm Sunday and waving those and calling out in a loud voice, "We are saved by our God who sits on the throne and by the Lamb." You know the God who saves. Have you talked to the people who don't? The ones that surround us and keep on telling us all religions are the same? There's one huge difference between the world's religions and the Bible religion, and you can all bring it down to one word. The world's religions are do. The Bible says done. It's no more complicated than that. We are saved because God saved us. We are saved because Jesus lived a perfect life. We are saved because he died an innocent death. We are saved by him who said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And when you've heard it so many times, you forget what it's like for the people out there who still don't have that God-shaped vessel of their heart filled up with God. But how blessed we are to look on the other side and see through the lens of the Apostle John that we see God on the throne. Sitting on the throne, we are saved by the God who sits there as the Father and by the Lamb. And all the angels around the throne, the myriads of angels who stood around the 24 elders and around the four living creatures, they bowed their heads before the throne and their faces to the ground, and they worshiped God in the seven, perfect seven, complete holiness of Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Why could they say that? Why will we say that? When your heart cries out for the one thing. When day after day in this life we disappoint each other and we disappoint our God. We don't love him with all our heart and soul and mind, or our neighbor as ourselves, and it starts in our own families, our marriages, our homes, our children, our friends. We don't, but he did. We don't, but he still does. And on the other side, we will finally see why he withheld that one thing and didn't let us know the full joy and gladness of a heart filled with love that never has to want for that again. Because if your life always went smooth and easy, would you really keep longing for God and hoping for him? Would you really appreciate the warm sunshine if there wasn't a cold winter in front of it? Or the sun breaking through the clouds on a cloudy day if there wasn't all the rain that fell beforehand? If you could have your life just the way you want it, and God actually said, "Here, you be God, you do the arranging, and I'll follow you," would you keep on longing for that day when you could be home at last with the Lord? We tend as sheep to drink from the mud puddles, try to find our own way, walk the same paths. We need the Good Shepherd to keep on leading us. And all the angels around the throne praised him, because before the throne of God, we can finally worship our God who saves because of what he brought us out of. One of the elders answered his own question. I think John was probably glad with that. "My Lord, you know," and he told me. "These are the people that literally are coming, still coming out of the great suffering, the great tribulation. Every day, More Christians pass through the portals of death onto the other side and are added to that number of those who are praising God around the throne and praising the Lamb for bringing them out of the great tribulation. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They came through the tribulation, which literally is the pressing in from all sides when you really feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. When you've been working on something so long and so hard and it's just not getting any better, and you're crying out to the Lord over and over again, "How long? How long, O Lord?" He knows the day. He knows the moment. And for each of us, it may be today. I told you about that professor in China who looked at me sadly and said, "In English, you have that expression, between a rock and a hard place." Here we talk about being between two jagged rocks. Church officials that are grossly immoral, and we can't do anything about it, even as God-fearing people. And government officials that want to do everything they can to keep the church from growing fast. We're between two jagged rocks. And we, as Wisconsin Synod people walking together trying to follow the Lamb with all the freedom that we have and the blessings that God has poured out upon us, we're talking about closing more of our worker training schools. We're talking about the fact that we are finally admitting that we are in crisis, that our whole worker training system may fall apart because God has blessed us so richly. And pastors and people alike are forgetting where those blessings come from. I can remember being a seventh grader and hearing the things that people said about the Wisconsin Synod as we were coming into it. I remember very vividly the bad things and praying as I sat at the feet of Wisconsin Synod teachers at the Academy in Mobridge, South Dakota, "Lord, you know how young and impressionable I am. I need teachers who will lead me and teach me correctly according to God's word. Lord, take away my fear." It was a blessing to have men who humbled themselves before God's word. And so we're so very, very careful to tell us about the invisible church of Jesus Christ, that you're not saved by a denomination. You're saved by faith in Jesus. And we thank God for all the work He is doing out there through all the Christians through which He is witnessing throughout the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that we don't know, who are not of our denomination, who in some cases are speaking against the doctrine of their denomination because they're speaking what the Bible says. And all the more reason in this day and age to keep that word clear and clean through well-trained pastors and teachers. My fellow pastors at the pastors' conference last week were surprised when I told them there are only two church bodies in the whole world that require all their pastors to know Greek and Hebrew. The pastors didn't remember that. The Word of God was given in Hebrew for the Old Testament and Greek for the New Testament, and we forget. We weren't born knowing this. We had to be taught by well-disciplined professors who disciplined us too, so that we could come to God's people in the congregations and apply firm and loving discipline of the Good Shepherd, leading the sheep past all those mud puddles to the clear, clean water of God's holy word. They know they've come out of the great tribulation and they've washed their robes, not in a laundry on earth or at the sink, not with the detergent that you see advertised on TV. They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The only one who can wash away the greed and the materialism that crowds into our hearts just living here, just being who we are. They've washed their robes and He made them clean, and now they're before the throne of God and serve Him day and night, and in heaven serving Him will be like getting the boat out in the spring, gassing up the jet ski. That's work, serving God in heaven. Serving God in heaven around His throne and praising Him who sits on the throne, He will spread His tent over them. families getting ready to go camping again in the summertime, and God gave the Israelites a festival called Tabernacles, which is tents, which was a mandated festival of tenting and camping. At the end of the year, after the harvest, when it was all gathered into the garner and people could celebrate all together outside, away from the workaday world, looking forward to heaven, where God says He will spread His tent over them and dwell with them forever. They will never be hungry again. They will never be thirsty again. Nor will the sun ever beat down on them or overcome them, nor any burning heat. Because the Lamb at the center of the throne, near the throne, will be their shepherd. The Lamb will be the shepherd. And He will lead them to springs of living water, springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. The only way God can describe this to us is to take away the things that trouble us and try to describe heaven in terms of all those things gone. But it ought to be in our prayers and our praises when the tears are coming down and we're asking the Lord, how long? Lord, that one thing. How long, O Lord, how long? And the Lord says, wait just a little while longer. Because the day will come when I personally will dry your tears. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Not there. No more hunger. No more thirst. No more suffering for anyone. Because finally, at last, the shepherd will have his sheep home to the clear, clean pastures of heaven. We get in our own little room, and the walls start closing in, and we start feeling as if no one knows and no one cares. If you're not in that situation right now, would you please thank God for that? And would you please thank God and pray for those who are? Because if you've been relieved from all those burdens and you know the God who fills your heart through faith in Jesus, you're surrounded by people that don't. Or Christians that are forgetting. Or people in the heat of life. Pray that God will grant them that relief, the shepherd's voice to give them comfort and peace and lead us on. And pray for our Wisconsin Synod that we won't forget where it all came from. We worship our God who saves. Amen. Please rise.